you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Put him in the hall. Put him in the hall of fame. Parkinson Spiegel to the rack. Count it in a foul.
We're going to crank it up nonstop.
All the sacrifice, handling the enormous weight of massive expectations, ends tonight here. It's over. Time to say it again, Boston. Anything's possible. Banner number 18 has been secured. The Celtics are NBA champions.
And it was an easy win. Just dominant, in control the whole way. The best player was on the losing team, but five of the next six best players in the series were on the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, and it's hard for me to just let best player go by without arguing, but I really? Yeah.
You want to make an argument for someone on Boston over Luka?
Jaylen Brown. I mean, Luka's a more skilled offensive player, and he has a better handle on offense, but it's just not the only part of the game. It's the only part of the game that he really brings, and it's the most important one, but it's not the only one. But
I don't know, man. I mean, listen, Jaylen Brown is excellent, and he is obviously a better defender than Luka. I would never begin to dispute that. But the offensive numbers that Luka put up during the year, during the playoffs, like let's put it this way. If Jaylen Brown is on Dallas, I do not, and Luka is on Boston, I do not believe that Jaylen Brown carries Dallas to the NBA Finals.
I think that is fair, but I think that one of the lessons from this year is that overall team can still conquer stars. Not all the time. And let the record show, I picked the stars.
Yeah.
I thought Kyrie and Luka were going to outclose, and I thought that was going to prove true. But man, Team over stars for this one, that's for sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it was your idea for the segment. What is that one of your big takeaways, or no, where do you come out on this?
Yeah, because we have some takeaways from these playoffs and these finals. And in terms of the Bulls, I'm finding it interesting for a couple things. But let's start with this one. I think get as many two-way players as possible. Like, it's not like Tatum is a great defender, but he's a really, really willing defender.
Oh, yeah. He's not. I just look at defense, too, is like there's the difference-making defenders, then there's willing and good enough.
Uh-huh.
You just don't want guys that you can target. No one goes into it and is like, I have to target Jason Tatum.
No.
You know, so he's not a liability.
Truly great two-way players on the Celtics in terms of defense and really every aspect of the game, Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday. Absolutely great in both aspects. Derek White, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
he was all NBA defense.
Porzingis is a really potent two-way player.
Yeah, very good rim protector.
And then there's Tatum, and then there's and then you start getting a little deeper, but their top six are all legit, really good two-way players. So when a defensive play has to be made, when some other aspect other than scoring has to happen, oh, look at that. It's nice to have guys who can do every aspect of basketball on the floor.
Well, that's why I hope the Bulls don't give up on Patrick Williams. And I might be the last one, but if they don't sign Patrick Williams because they can't trade Zach and then they extend DeMar and then they don't have the money to pay him or they don't want to go into the level of the luxury tax that it would cost to keep all of those guys. Like, all they will be doing with, what did they end up with? The 10th pick in the draft, right? 9th, 10th pick, whatever they have? 11th pick in the draft. That they will be looking for a 6'9 wing with a long wingspan who can be a two-way player and hit a three. And I'm not saying that Patrick Williams is a fully formed or developed player.
He yeah.
obviously isn't. But the profile of Patrick Williams is what you're talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
It's exactly what you want. Now, he might never get there, and he might be overpaid mm-hmm. after this contract based mm-hmm. on his own production. But it's the exact type of thing you want. I mean, I think that that was a big lesson of the Bucks championship,
sure.
honestly. To Drew Holiday was on that team. Giannis, obviously, a spectacular uh-huh. two-way player.
You know who it's not a good reflection on? Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and Nikola Vucevic, and
correct.
Arturis Karnishevas.
Correct. I mean,
I'm done making excuses for big-time contracts for offensive superstars who only make a difference in that aspect of the game, especially when they're not good playmakers. Like, I mean, it's just, I mean, DeMar has some possibility of being a playmaker, but my God, the fact that your three biggest stars are not two-way players and we're sitting here watching a team full of two-way players show you that that's how you win a title. It's like, what are we doing, man? What? It's a horrific roster building from Arturis and then going in again and again and again with the same mix and not trying to change it up.
Yeah, their plan was obviously flawed. That's putting it mildly. Mm-hmm. But it was also the best players were the offensive guys, but then players 4, 5, and 6 were supposed to be exemplary defensive guys.
Yeah.
Caruso, Ball, Patrick Williams.
But even then, you'd be like, hoping that is a good enough mix, you know?
No, I know, but I'm saying that was the plan. The plan was we have got elite offensive players and elite defensive players, and we can mix and match them enough to be good on both ends of the floor. That was the plan.
I really admire him as a player and as a person, but the free agent contract of DeMar DeRozan when you already had Zach LaVine, you know, when you already had, you know, a weakness in that regard, is just, it's odd, man. It's a really odd thought process from a front office that has lost my trust pretty much in full.
Yeah, I completely agree with you and understand. They're in no man's land. They've backed themselves into a corner. They have very few moves on the chessboard mm-hmm. that they can make.
You got one? I got another one, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, so this is a little bit more in how we talk about stars in basketball, but I think that informs what fans and media value and then projects onto the moves that guys like Arturis Karnishevas make. This was Brad Stevens, profiled, by the way, in Pipeline to the Pros, available now.
I thought of you this morning when I saw that Jeff Van Gundy took a coaching job with the Clippers.
Yep.
Another guy profiled.
Yep, he wrote the foreword for the book. Was hired to be a consultant, and internally in Boston, he gets some credit for helping Joe Mazzulla actually kind of adjust and improve on the fly. They're giving JVG a lot of credit for that. But the moves he made are well documented and easy to understand, right? It was a fleecing in the Drew Holiday trade. It was a fleecing in the Porzingis trade. He chose to pay.
What are you giving up, Grant Williams for Porzingis?
Yes, Grant Williams and
more.
Danilo Gallinari and like the 35th pick in the draft.
Unbelievable.
Like, just an absolute fleecing. It was Brogdon, two first-round picks for Drew Holiday. I mean, we're talking about fleeces here. Paid Jaylen, paid Tatum, didn't break him up when people told him to. Just savvy move after savvy move, and all of them under contract for next year. And coming back.
Just to clean something up, not Grant Williams. It was Tyus Jones, Gallinari, Muscala, and the number 35 pick in a three-way deal. Marcus Smart to Memphis in terms of the Porzingis trade.
Wasn't Grant Williams in one of them? Wasn't Grant Williams in one of those trades? I could be off on that. Mm.
Say Clarence Thomas, as I said?
I think he said Tyrus Thomas.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to trade Clarence Thomas. It was one of those little jokes I do. Sorry about that. Yeah, you're having serious basketball talk. Sorry.
No. I liked it.
I enjoy the jokes.
Yeah, keep them coming. This is how, amidst all the champagne and celebration, Brad Stevens reacted to talk of criticism over their careers of Tatum and Brown.
Executive of the Year, Brad Stevens, now adds NBA champion to his resume. The road for Jaylen and Jason, to seize a lot of the early criticism they took and then to have them be able to pay it off here. What does that mean to you as someone who's coached them and then nurtured them through the organization?
I think criticism's stupid, so I don't care.
I'm
a Jaylen on that. Like, you know, those two had achieved more than most 25 and 26-year-olds ever had, and the only reason they received scrutiny was because they were playing in late May and June. And, you know, as a good friend of mine said, I'd rather be in the mix and have my guts ripped out than suck. And those two guys have been really good a long time.
Yes, it's good. So those guys criticized for not getting over the hump when they were in the mix to even begin with.
The commentary was, is Jason Tatum a winning player? Is Jaylen Brown a winning player? Can you win with those guys as the best players on your team? And they break them up. Don't give them a max contract. Don't give them a super max contract. They can't play together. They don't complement each other. Jaylen Brown is 27 years old. Do you know when he was first in the Eastern Conference Finals? In 2017.
At 20?
At 20. So, I mean, the next year, Eastern Conference Finals in 2018. Second round of the playoffs in 2019. Eastern Conference Finals in 2020. Like, these guys have been playing deep into the playoffs since their early 20s. So, yeah, he didn't win a title at 22. But it's like the LeBron argument. Oh, LeBron's record in the finals has losses on it. Mm. Well, would it have been better for LeBron to lose in the Eastern Conference Finals? Or is it better to make it to the finals and then lose to Golden State? Obviously, objectively, it's better to make it to the finals and lose than not make it to the finals at all. So when we talk about, is this player a winning player? The sheer volume of games and playoff series that these guys had at such a young age. Zach LaVine, that conversation is legitimate. Dude's never even been to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. These guys have, yeah, a ton of playoff exits on their resume, but they also have a bunch of deep playoff runs on their resume in their early 20s. But because they were there, they had that stigma attached to them more so than guys who never even got there.
Well, no, I think it's well said. And you know what I blame for that, in part, is the takosphere, is the need to polarize and say that someone is good or bad. Someone cannot get over the hump because at the highest level, because not everything is a polar conversation. So it doesn't always have to be this person not good enough. Sometimes they're really effing good, to your point, and other dudes are just a little bit better, or there are other factors that are involved. So good. Bring that attitude to the takosphere when you're there trafficking on TV the next few days.
I will, but we're there too. I mean, like in Boston, how do you think they were treating Tatum and Brown on WEEI when they're losing in the second round of the playoffs?
And we're there when we talk about quarterbacks. We're there when we talk about, is this quarterback great enough? And if not, you can't pay. Is Justin Fields between 20 and 25? Yeah, so that means that you can't necessarily pay for it, but that doesn't mean that he's bad. So it's not just the takosphere, it's what the audience has become.
Yeah.
The audience, like, it is starved for the binary good or bad.
Yeah, but I thought that was just a very well elucidated point of, like, hold on a second. We were winning playoff series being led by 22-year-olds. Yeah, they weren't LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next criticism? Now they're 26 and 27.
Yeah, and they just won a title.
They just won a title.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they lost five games at home all year.
Incredible.
Playoffs included.
Yeah, I had a couple more takeaways, and one is about Tatum and Brown. So let's stay right there.
Sure.
The fact that those two realized at whatever point they realized it, that they were better together, and their togetherness and their bond and their teammateship, to quote Phil Emery about Pat Manley, never was shattered. Jason Tatum was not the best player in every game of this series. Jaylen Brown was not necessarily the best player. I thought the best player last night was Jrue Holiday, myself, but, you know, Tatum scored more.
Yeah.
But Tatum, there were games in this series where Tatum didn't shoot well, and he rebounded his ass off and busted his ass on defense, and it's like, those two guys found their partnership. It's not exactly Jordan and Pippen, of course, because Jordan was so far superior, but Jordan needed Pippen to shine and knew it and helped it to flower. Like I love when teammates really realize that they need each other. It's not necessarily Tatum's team or Brown's team. And I don't think today those guys give a crap about that artificial designation.
I don't know. I think it would be totally natural on some level because of ego and competition and all of it for, I mean, Tatum, there was 11 votes for finals MVP. Jaylen Brown got 7 of them. Jason Tatum got 4. It could absolutely be a carrot for Jason Tatum to be the finals MVP next year when they get back.
It could.
And that wouldn't be inherently a bad thing. No. But I thought what Jaylen Brown did when he won the award, immediately shouting out Tatum, I mean, he was the first name out of his mouth.
Sure. But let's say that it is a carrot and that next year they're in the finals and Tatum, if it makes him make the wrong basketball play, then
it's a problem.
It's a problem. And it's his job to sublimate his ego on that. It'll be Joe Mazzulla's job to get it back in check and get to where it is right now, which is clearly best basketball play wins. Let's go. And sometimes the best basketball play is me. But you can't let it rule that. So it's in a really good, healthy place right now. Does downtime and human nature and greed change that over the next couple years? I don't know. Hope not.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, listen, I don't even really have much of a rooting interest in them. It's not a team that I root for, or even feel that much attachment to.
I just like seeing the excellence, and I like seeing the bond of greatness just kind of finding its way together.
It's weird. Like, one of the things that'll happen nationally and is happening about them is, are they an all-time great team because of how few losses they had over the regular season and playoff? They ended up with 20 total losses. There's a very small list of teams that regular season and playoffs only had that number or fewer losses. Like, I look at them and I'm like, they've been really good for a really long time, right? They've been to a finals and lost. They've been to multiple conference finals and lost. Now they get to a championship and win. Like, there's a large body of work of the Tatum Brown version of the Celtics.
Yeah.
And this was a dominant all-time team by some of the metrics, point differential, total losses, and all that.
It's tricky, though.
My eye test tells me it's not an all-time team. The run through the East was easy because it was the lesser conference, and they got the Cavs without Donovan Mitchell.
And then they got the Mavs instead of Denver. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the matchups in this, like, Denver couldn't get by Minnesota, then Minnesota can't get by Dallas. Would Denver have gotten by Dallas? Maybe.
Yeah.
And who knows? And would Denver have given Boston a better fight? Like, matchups make those kind of conversations difficult.
Yeah, and so I tend to not look at them in that way. They've got more of a, you know, we think about, you know, KG and Allen and Pierce, that Celtics team, mm-hmm. the 04 Celtic or 04 Pistons, the Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton, Ben Wallace, Sheed Wallace team. Like, it feels more like that, like true team, true depth, truly great defense. The Bulls are so far away from being able to, like, copy any of that.
Oh, for sure.
You know, it's very, very, very difficult.
So my last one, you don't need an NBA pedigree as a former player or even a longtime coach necessarily to be a good leader of men. Joe Mazzulla is an odd dude.
Pipeline to the pros.
Glenville State is where he first coached. He went to West Virginia, but Glenville State, Fairmont State, the main Red Claws, back to Fairmont State for 3 seasons, then an assistant in Boston, and now a title-winning coach. His particular brand of leadership, I love that it was inspired this year a little bit by Van Gundy. That's cool to know, and I'll check it out more. But he obviously connected with Tatum and Brown and got them in a good spot, and everybody bought in, and that's like, you know, don't need an NBA pedigree to be a good leader of men.
No, I think that, listen, that is 100% true. That's a huge piece of the book. And he's a very smart guy. And the Van Gundy piece helps, but also, like, they had a tremendous coaching infrastructure, right? I mean, Brad Stevens is one of the best basketball coaches of the last quarter century. He's his boss. Will Hardy was on that staff, left. Will Hardy easily could be the coach of this team right now. He left to take the Utah job. Ime Udoka left in a sex scandal of sorts. You know what I mean?
To go cheat elsewhere.
Yeah, kind of like a happy accident. That Joe Mazzulla...
Him cheating was a happy accident? That doesn't seem right.
No, he got to cheat with a new partner. That's the happy accident for him.
Oh!
On Neil Long, by the way.
Dude. Yeah, cheated on Neil Long.
How? What? Why? On Neil Long? There's...
Yeah, he could still be with Neil Long and an NBA champion right now.
He didn't upgrade. There's no way he upgraded.
It would be impossible.
Dudes are weird, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other dudes, I meant.
To be clear. Yeah, obviously.
None of us.
Obviously.
No, we're not weird.
But
good coaching infrastructure.
I'm just saying, it really wasn't supposed to be him. He wanted to be the coach of this team.
No, it was supposed to be Ime Udoka.
Yeah, and if not, it could have easily been Will Hardy if he hadn't left.
Did the details of his sex scandal ever come out, by the way?
He said it was pretty good.
Those are the details I was wondering about.
They're pretty compatible is what I heard.
Oh, that's nice. There's a lot of
just not.
A lot of making out.
He enjoyed it.
Kissing? Was there dating?
Yeah, they cuddled after. That's what it was. It was just...
Did he sleep over?
Yeah.
I'm betting not early on, but like...
You didn't want to send
after six
signals.
Or seven sessions. Yeah.
Those are the details I was looking
touching
for.
And rubbing.
Seinfeld reference.
Thank you. Okay.
Yep. All right, I have other questions about the sex.
Stop!
Game, but I'll hold them till off the air.
This is how crazy this has developed into.
Kind of like he held her off the air.
Let's bring it back on track with Shad on the South Side.
Shad,
that's how that normally goes.
It's our guy.
Hey, I just want to let you know, Speaks. I got the quote here. It actually went at a level that Guagi couldn't even reach. Just want to throw that out there for you so that you're aware. Yeah, okay. It was really great.
All right, good.
Quick pivot. I don't think the Bulls are completely without a future. Okay. Let's bring you back just a little bit. I think Boston's championship down the road would look to be overrated because the Eastern Conference's best team in Milwaukee had injuries, which is why that team wasn't able to play in the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, you look at the big three, AK brought in here. DeRozan was the worst signing in the last 5 years for the Bulls. But the pairing of Vucevic and Zach was why AK gained credibility. I think they got the opportunity with players on the team right now. If re-signed and Patrick Williams, you already got AO, who's a replacement for Alex Caruso when you trade him for assets next year. And Kobe White showed you he has the ceiling to be a number two on a championship level team offensively. Mm. So from my standpoint, I only need one guy that could be a number one, and that guy who has a ceiling to be an all-star caliber player year after year. We don't have it. Next year, the draft's loaded with it. So instead of going back into the shed of retreads, trades for new or current stars like Paul George, I'm going to groom my replacements. I'm going to groom my Caruso. I'm going to groom my new LaVine and Kobe White, and I'm going to allow Patrick Williams to be the two-way player that Jaylen Brown was in the playoffs this year. Now, I'm never going to say Patrick's going to have that ceiling, but we saw defensively he can guard any 3 and 4 in this league. And if you can guard that position defensively, along with IO on the perimeter, now you got a Bulls, I guess, profile that looks more playoff worthy, so to speak. Now, let me know what y'all think.
God love your global perspective and your optimism,
thanks for the call, Shad. You know, here's the thing. How he ended it is the thing that probably matters more than any of the individual points along the way. A path to being in the playoffs, sure, maybe. You know, one guy breaks out and overachieves. They get healthy. They play hard in the regular season. Mm. Yeah. But a path to winning a playoff series against Milwaukee or Boston or Philly, that feels many moons away.
It is multiple players and roster turnover and salary cap transformation. It's multiple levels away.
Eking into a 6 seed, yeah, maybe. Like catching up to the Pacers and Knicks, maybe. But like passing the Heat, maybe. But like winning a playoff series against Milwaukee or Boston.
NBA draft next week. You ready for my guy? I got a guy.
Can't wait. Just save it.
All right. Okay.
We're going to save it. That's a 1 week tease, Tammy, for our NBA draft contest.
Tammy, is it? Who is your guy?
Dr. NBA, you got a guy? Shane, you're a hoops junkie.
No,
recovering.
No. But as a professor of basketball hoops, I just love the idea of a segment. Also a radio nerd, I love the segment. We can call it Who Happens to Be Your Person?
You're so creative.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
You're the absolute best. Yeah, let's do that.
You guys hear about Zach Edey's height?
He's tall.
A lot of people are onto that.
Mm. He's tall.
Who is thou objective? Thou'st. Who is thou'st human?
That Hooper. Is he yours?
Who is he?
Name your Hooper.
That Hooper, is he yours?
Who do you hoop with?
I got it. Pick a player.
I like it. Another way to do it. Read from a book. Next, coming up next, we read from a book.
We got studs stressing out for 364 days trying to find drops.
I don't know what to pick.
Read from a book. There's no Simpsons drops.
Too worried about koalas.
Bears.
I got to do Take the North.
Koalas.
Bears.
Koalas.
Koalas, not actually bears, by the way. They're marsupials.
Gorillas.
I've heard that.
Although, if we could get a great improv comic to get on board with the show.
Oh, then we'd be getting somewhere. See if we can get Tom Middleditch. Thomas Middleditch. See if we can get that guy. He'd be good.
Okay.
We're going to solve an issue with your sport. It's soon. Next on Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Doing it and doing it and doing it.
Afternoons on the Score.
Just let the guys make the calls. They've been doing this for a billion years. Let them keep doing it. They're the best in the business. Are they perfect? No. They're going to make mistakes. But I don't care what anybody says. They say, well, you got the equipment, you got all... No. Those things can break down and make mistakes, too. 708, Les, what if the Russians hack the strike zone system? Laughing out loud. That's Sean from Westlawn. Sean, I'm glad you put the LOL in there. Yeah, they're going to think the Russians are there, and they're going to say, Do svidaniya, you're out of the game.
Oh, you're saying collusion, potential collusion.
That's what the texter says.
We miss that man each and every day around here.
Julio, our favorite part-time producer.
We miss Julio so much.
That's what I said.
Enveloped.
Enveloped. That's what I said.
That's what I said.
We miss Julio.
Miss Les Grobstein.
His far right tweets.
Oh, really? Was that a thing? I didn't follow him on social media.
It was.
Oh, I'm sorry we missed that.
Is.
Yeah. Can't find that anywhere else on the internet, unfortunately. It's happening, dude. It's coming to AAA.
Well,
the automated balls and strike system. ABS. It's coming.
It's
June 25th.
It's been there, so I guess it's. I think they're dropping it now.
It will move to a challenge system, is what I'm saying. The what is more likely to make it to the big leagues is the challenge system. That here's the tech. We're working to perfect the tech. Big league clubs and teams and personnel greatly prefer a challenge system on egregious misses as opposed to removing the human element and the umpire completely from it. So the challenge system is coming to AAA on June 25th.
Yeah, so they and they're dropping the overall ABS, like you're saying, so they're only going to use the challenge system. I love they're going down to two challenges. It's been three challenges for balls and strikes, but you get to keep your challenge. If you win the challenge, right? So I love that what they're doing is they've had too many challenges, they think, Danny, because it's sometimes 8, 9, 10. If they keep challenging and they keep getting them right, you keep getting your challenges. So they're lowering it from 3 to 2, thinking that maybe that will reduce how many. But if they get their two right, then they still have two. Like, it'll keep going. But that's the idea. But yeah, they like the challenges better than the overall, and the tech is weird, but those broadcasting in AAA say it's awesome. Those playing in AAA really overall like it, even though they're still working out some kinks.
Rob Manfred says earliest it could be in the big leagues is 2026. This came up because of the egregious non-ball three strike one call that made it a 2-1 count to Wisdom last night. Would have been 3-0, then two pitches later, mm-hmm. he would have walked. Listen, Tanny pulled all four calls. So we'll start on the Giants side, work our way to Cubs TV. Just how overwhelming it was on both sides, how terrible the call was. We'll start Giants radio.
2-0 pitch. That's a called strike, and that was way off the outside. And a great blessing for Camilo Doval. That ball might have been 5 or 6 inches off the outside corner.
Just no one able to deny it. Here's Giants TV.
Big pitch here. Wisdom, who's got a lot of power. Got the call there. Wisdom can't believe it, and neither can I.
It's been one of those games.
Those guys, man. It's Kuiper and Kruko. They're great.
Fantastic.
They have absolutely no fear and will tell the truth about everybody and anybody.
How did Cubs radio experience a ball 6 inches off the plate being called a strike?
Now Doval ready for the 2-0 pitch to Wisdom. Patrick takes a strike on the outside corner, just barely hitting the zone.
Oh, my.
That ball is 6 inches off the plate away at least. That's not even close.
Yeah, he missed that one.
Wow.
Completely transformed that at bat.
Yeah, massive. A massive missed call to put a bow on it. Marquee Sports Network.
No!
Jeez.
That's horrible.
Holy cow.
That's similar to the one we saw from CB the other night. Oh, man. That's a huge difference. That's 3-0.
I mean, that is probably as big a miss as anybody has had this year, would be my guess.
Well, there was one the other day with CB. It was like 5.5 inches, something like that. That's in the ballpark.
It was against Saya.
Man, CB Buckner's like, let it go.
I'm not even there.
This guy made a worse one.
What did I do?
No.
No.
So good. Great moment from Boog and JD last night. So universal across the board. That would be a challenge spot. For people railing against technology coming into baseball and all of that, that moment last night, a clear spot, okay, the tech would say that was a ball, you called it a strike, counsel would challenge, save a challenge for late in the game, instead of 2-1, you go 3-0, you're trailing by one, getting a runner on base would be massive. Tech would have fixed that problem last night. It won't happen until 2026 at the earliest.
They're struggling. Apparently what's happening is like they're good at tracking the ball. They're struggling to set the strike zone based on the player. I mean, they have to you have to measure guys. You have to get their height, and then you can do that for the height of somebody. But if they change their stance, then you're like, all right, we need to measure you again. You're going to a little bit more of a crouch. We have the old strike zone in there. You know, it's like all that kind of stuff that they're trying to measure, and then the distance across, like where the player's knees. And I'm told that in the minors last year, the pitchers thought they weren't getting the high strike, you know? That's what they thought last year, and now all of a sudden they think they're not getting the edges. So it's like different problems that are happening with the technology. It's super challenging, and they've got to get it right. But to your point, whatever problems we're going to have with that technology, and there will be, and they'll complain, just like there is with replay in the NFL, they will be better problems than not having anything at all.
Yeah. Technology to write egregious wrongs is great. So if we can make it like, can't use it all the time, we're not looking for, you know, razor thin margin calls, but a call like that on Wisdom last night that is a you know, game-changing is maybe a little overstating it, but that is certainly an at-bat-changing call.
Oh, my God, big time. It's a one-run game, so you could argue. Yeah.
So, like, right, he gets on, you pinch run for him. Who the hell knows how the rest of the inning goes?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a massive, massive miss, and we're not that far away from technology being able to solve the problem.
It's so funny, some of the tech issues that they have. One is, like, the cameras are trying to capture where the belt is on a player, and then set the zone, because the belt theoretically in the middle of the strike zone, up or down. If some guys have their shirt hanging over the belt, can't find the belt. Would you tuck in your shirt, please? Like, I don't have a lot of faith in baseball to nail this.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure it'll be fine. Why would you not have faith in baseball to get it right? Spiegs is going to tell us a personal story and life lesson through baseball.
I think that's fair to say.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Good vibes, babe.
Afternoons on the Score.
Chip Carey with an absolutely ridiculous fluffy bird hat on his head.
Have let him know what I thought of his thoughts on headwear. He is a very good friend, by the way.
But not somebody you'd take to the haberdashery.
Not wearing that.
I'm doing my best, Frank.
Why do you think we're in the haberdashery business?
Matt Spiegel, play-by-play extraordinaire, did the fifth inning this past Saturday.
I don't know about extraordinaire.
You're on your way.
It's a hard job, man.
Yeah, of course it is.
Thank you once again, Danny, for saying Mitch Rosen. It doesn't start. It's a crazy thing. Come on. It's part of my origin story forever as a play-by-play guy, is that it starts with you making a statement on the air and Mitch immediately calling in and granting the request with absolutely no concern for the Cubs or any of the broadcast entities involved.
You're welcome.
Yes.
And so your fifth inning, this was how the top of the fifth ended, correct?
Yes.
Of the game this past Saturday, which is, how many innings have you done? At this point,
I did the three full games last year when Pat went into the Hall of Fame, and other than that, I have done 17 innings stretched out over 17 games over four seasons, which of course is how I would recommend for anybody to get into the business.
So 44 big league innings of play-by-play, 27 innings plus the 17.
That is correct.
So here is the end of the top of the fifth of your 44th career inning of play-by-play.
The 1-1 to Donovan is hit in the air towards right field. Seiya Suzuki settles under. That's a 1-2-3 inning for Shota Imanaga. He points to the sky with two hands, fist bumps Yan Gomes as they cross towards the dugout. It's 2-1 Cubs here on the Score and the Cubs Radio Network.
It's a fairly innocuous moment, but I think an interesting one. It's radio. So just like, the double sky point, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that maybe the listeners would find it interesting, some of the stuff I'm learning as I'm doing it, because in that job, in the play-by-play job, you have to take your ego out of it. You got to take your own desire to be entertaining out of it. And we're talk show hosts, man.
Yeah.
Like, we're used to trying to be entertaining and letting it be about us. But the truth is, when you're in that job, the game is the star. The game will tell you the truth. It makes it a lot simpler as a job psychologically than what we do. Technically, it's way harder. There's stuff to do. You gotta remember exactly. You gotta call things right. You gotta know all the rules. You gotta hit all your times and all your marks and everything like that. But psychologically, it's cleaner when you really think about it from a broadcasting perspective.
Yeah, you're not creating the content. The content is the game. You just say what happens.
Hey, does the voice of the White Sox know what this? Is he listening? Someone text him.
Oh no,
man. I wasn't making it about that.
He's just here for the zip line.
Go on about your
self-checkout was closed at Jewel this morning. We ain't taking that.
Oh no.
We ain't taking that.
I don't care how many L's are in Jewel.
Oh man.
It's just one.
Guys, you guys are some radio losers. He's trying to tell us a heartfelt life lesson.
Sorry about that. I just want to make sure Shrip Dog knew the lesson.
Not doing it for him.
No, you all are working for him. Okay, go ahead.
He never walks around like he, we call him the dig me.
You're right. You, that's exactly right, Tanny. You can't be a dig me guy, really, and do that job. And think about how entertaining some of those people are. Jason Benetti.
Entertaining man.
Jason Benetti could do our job easily. Kevin Brown of the Orioles could do our job easily. Some of these people are crazy talented, thoughtful, talk show host caliber communicators with opinions and all of that. But he can't do that. So I've had some bad fifth innings lately. The first one I did this year, I wasn't crazy about. The game in Mesa, I wasn't crazy about. You know, and we got to try and look at ourselves and get better. And the way that I was able to relax and get better was to take my ego out of it and say, let's just serve the game, shall we? Let's just make it about the game.
The answers have to be internal.
At this point, certainly the answers have to come from within.
Within. That's where the answers come, Tanny. Tanny feels me.
Yeah, that's definitely a learning lesson.
Yes.
So you removed your massive oversized ego from the play-by-play.
Yeah.
And you became better.
Became better. And all of a sudden, if you're entertaining, then that'll come out through osmosis on the margins.
Through the diffusion of water. Yeah. Sure.
Thank you. No problem. Nico loves that, by the way. Because yeah. It's water treatment.
Yeah. No response to the water treatment.
Not at all. But yeah, so.
And sometimes, like, if you can be entertaining, you only got 6 outs to work with, right? So sometimes if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
Yes.
As far as, like, being anecdotal and referential, sometimes you just call a quick inning.
Tanny, that's it. And anybody that I've talked about it, like, the job is to go and acquire all the information and have that stuff, but don't force it in. Just have it in your back pocket in case the moment arises. So the respect for the craft continues, and the life lessons through working on the craft continue as well. So,
well, that's beautiful, man.
So thanks, man. And thanks again for the opportunity.
No, you're welcome. Yeah. And I mean, it spawned 44 innings of big league play-by-play, Spiegel Idol, and the PBP. Subscribe, rated, review.
It's true.
I mean, this is like the original Spiegel and Parkins show. The long-lasting legacy is the I'm Fat podcast.
The I'm Fat podcast.
There's lots of tentacles here to what we do.
That's true. This is another lasting legacy from the Spiegel and Parkins show. It's another learning lesson. Using our skill talent to not just make music songs.
That's beautifully put.
Jed Hoyer, did he put this stuff beautifully? I'm not really sure if you can do anything to help this situation. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.